ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் தி பர்பஸ் ஆஃப் லைஃப், ப்ரெசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சத்குரு சிவாய சுப்பிரமணிய சுவாமி. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய.
Merging with Shiva, Lesson 15, Find the Core of Your Being. The superconscious mind and the body of the soul have been around a long time. This immortal body of yours has been around a long time and has seen many lives come and go, many experiences pass by the windows of its eyes. Some need no explanation because they are the playing out of vibrations. Others do need an explanation. The explanation that would come and impress you intellectually from your superconscious would give you power, maybe to face an experience that was yet to come. So don't analyze every nuance of a reaction or try to anticipate the next series of experiential patterns, for life is a series of experiences. They were all great experiences. Hold your center. Find the place within you that has never ever changed. That's been the same for many lives. That feeling that has been the same within you since you were a little child up to this very time. Find that. Catch that vibration. And you've caught the vibration of the soul and identified it to your intellectual mind and your instinctive area of the mind. Then build on that. Work with that. Say to yourself, there's something within me that never changes no matter what happens. Work on the analogy that if your foot hurts, your head doesn't hurt. If you have a pain in your stomach, it doesn't mean that you have a pain in your hand. In the very same way, if your emotions are upset and you're suffering, there is an area within you that's calm, peaceful, dynamic, vibrant, watching. That's the body of the soul. Work with that. Find that within you that has never changed, never will change, cannot change. All it can do is become more than what it is. This will give you understanding. This will allow you to inner search because you have an inner anchor, which you're always trying to get into. You have identified the core of yourself very, very thoroughly. And each time you have unwound the emotional patterns and the intellectual patterns of an experience, you've graduated out of that classroom and you're on to greater and fuller experiences in this lifetime. If you would like to live a lifetime where you have no experiences at all because you don't like experiences, you've had a lot of experiences that have been distasteful to you, you cannot do it on this planet. Lifetimes don't come about that way on this planet. But the core of you is the observer of all experience, of the emotional, the instinctive, the intellectual areas of the mind. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 17, The Path of Unfoldment. Meditate on man being like a lotus flower. He comes through the mud, his instinctive mind, and he's aware of the things of the instinctive mind, hate and greed and love, and passion, and jealousy, and sorrow, and happiness, and joy and excitement. He comes into the intellectual mind, He becomes aware of ancient history and predictions about the future, politics, all sorts of systems, all sorts of organizations, institutions, and the opinions of other people. And this consumes and overshadows the soul, life after life after life, just as the desires and cravings of the instinctive mind overshadows the soul, life after life after life after life. But all this time, the body of the soul is growing up. It's getting stronger. It's absorbing the reactions of each lifetime, drawing more energy from the central source of energy to build and absorb these reactions. And this is food for the soul. Then finally, awareness comes into its bud state. It says, here I am, a bud, and I'm out of the mud, and I'm out of the water. We'll look at the mud as being the instinct. We'll look at the water as being the intellect, and we'll look at the air as superconsciousness. Now I want to unfold and be of service to mankind and everything else who is unfolding. Again. Now I want to unfold and be of service to mankind and everyone else who is unfolding. I see them all down in the mud. Caught in the mud, like I was at one time. I want to help them out of the mud. Then I see hundreds of people caught in the intellect. They're all in the water. They think they're a stem. But I know, I'm a bud. Then begins the process on the path of enlightenment for this bud unfolding and awareness expanding. First, it becomes aware of the inner processes of the body and how breath controls thought. Then it becomes aware of the inner processes of the mind, how light moves through the body, how the mind of light begins to work. And it goes on unfolding and unfolding and unfolding through the ages. If we look at the past as a catalog and the future as a planning book, and now as the only reality of time, we have dodged the past and we have dodged the future because we have brought them both into the eternity of the moment. The mystic on the path of unfoldment doesn't allow his awareness to go into the past and flow through all the yesterdays and relive in his mind what formerly happened to him physically. The mystic doesn't go into the future and live emotional experiences that may or may not have happened to him. The mystic remains in the present, right now, using the catalog of the experiences of the past and a planning book for his future. This makes him wise. For intellect, when it is correctly used at the right time, is wisdom. Holding the eternity of the moment, feeling and the feelings of the being within that has never changed, finally you don't even say, it's a being within. That in itself is duality. You just identify it as you, an immortal being who's lived for thousands of years, which never changes except it unfolds more and it lives now. The past and the future are only intellectual concepts that we live with and have been developed by man himself in that particular area of the mind. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 18, Making Wise Decisions. Life is a series of decisions also. One decision builds into another. To make a good decision, we have to again bring our total awareness into the eternity of the moment. If we project ourselves into the future to try to make a decision, we do not make a decision with wisdom. If we project ourselves into the past and in that way formulate our decisions, again, they are not wise decisions. For they are decisions made through the powers of the intellect or the instinctive areas of the mind. The only good decision comes to us when we hold the consciousness of the eternity of the moment and go within ourselves for the answer. The best thing in making a decision is, when in doubt, do nothing. Have the subject matter so clearly in mind, so well thought out, that soon the answer will be self-evident to you. There will be just no other way to go. Good, positive decisions bring good, positive action, and of course, positive reactions. When decisions that are not well worked out, we jump into experiential patterns haphazardly or emotionally, bring reactions of an emotional nature that again have to be lived through until we cease to be aware of them and experience them emotionally. Each time we have a decision to make, it's a marvelous test in this classroom of experience. We can make a good decision if we approach it in the eternity of the moment. And of course, there are no bad decisions. If we make a decision that's different than what we would make in the eternity of the moment, we make it through the instinctive area of the mind or the intellectual area of the mind. We're not sure totally of ourselves. We do not have enough information to make a good, positive decision. So, when in doubt, in making a decision, that's the time to know we have to collect up more information. Think about it more. Each decision is the foundation for the next series of experiences. When you are in a sequential series of experiential patterns, you are not making decisions at that time. Only when your experiential pattern has come to an end and you're ready for a new set of experiences in certain areas of your life, those are the times when you make new decisions. Weigh carefully each decision, because that is the rudder that guides your ship through the whole pattern of life. Think it over carefully. Go in for intuitive guidance. And nobody knows better than yourself, your own superconscious being, what is to be the next set of experiential patterns for you to go through in your quest for enlightenment. It's all based on decisions. Don't expect someone to make decisions for you. They're second-hand decisions, not the best. Others, maybe, can give a little bit of advice or supply a different perspective or added information for you to make a better decision. But the decision you make for yourself in any matter, but the decision you make yourself in any matter is the most positive, most powerful one, and should be the right one. Do it from the eternity of the moment. That is the state of awareness to hold. Virjivasheva, Lesson 19, The Habit of Being Constant. There are several ways we can make decisions, and there are guidelines to help us. There are basic principles that we can follow in life that other people have followed, which help guide their decisions along. It worked out fairly well. So we can follow basic principles too. And we'll go in after a while to outline some of these basic principles that help us make good, positive decisions, for we can learn by observing other people the decisions they have made, the reactions and experiential patterns that followed. We can learn by observing other people. The first faculty of the expression of the inner being of your mortal soul is the great power of observation. To learn through observation, as your individual awareness detaches itself from that which it is aware of. You have tremendous powers of observation, for you are a free spirit. You're just here on this planet to observe. And through your powers of observation, you can go through the experiential patterns of other people by observing what they're going through without having to go through them yourself. Some mystics live several lifetimes in one in this way. Living by basic principles keeps awareness clean-cut, pure, direct, and positive. Out of the areas of the mind that are confused, unwholesome, unhealthy. Areas that react back upon the nerve system of the physical nature. When we are clean-cut, our perceptions are precise. We make our decisions from an up-down point of view, and our path through life is guided by each decision that we make. When we make a decision, it has its reaction. If we do not make a decision, that has a reaction too, for then decisions are made for us by circumstance, other people, situations, or confusion. The confusion becomes so intense that finally we're forced into a decision. When we become accustomed to making one decision after another, from an up-down point of view, our lives are guided in a systematic, positive, clean-cut, beautiful way. Who does the guiding? You do. With your awakened perceptive faculties. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 20. Are you ready to turn inward? Basic principles for a good foundation in our lives can be established through consistency. The consistency in approach to what you are doing, a good habit pattern in living our life as we approach our inner life, the understanding of our inner life, the study of it, and the experience of it, has to be on a day-to-day basis. To develop a contemplative lifestyle that is sensible, that is positively worked out and program that into our complete pattern of daily life gives us a foundation strong enough to face decisions and the ensuing experiences and the reactions to those experiences in a way that they enhance our spiritual unfoldment. Remember, the lifestyle we now have was programmed for you by mothers, fathers, religious leaders, teachers, people that we had just met along the way, and good friends. It's not a particularly good lifestyle in which to hold the perspective that we're an immortal being. It's a great lifestyle to hold the perspective that we're a temporal being, that we're only here for a few years, and then we die. To develop a whole new lifestyle takes thought. Our desire has to be transmuted into doing that. In the ordinary lifestyle of human consciousness, our desires generally are for things, for emotional experiences, for intellectual knowing. And that's all good, but they're not organized. We have to organize the tremendous power of desire so that it's transmuted. And we desire the realization of the self more than anything else. Then, you'll have enough desire left over to get things, to get happiness, and to get all the getting that humans want. But the tremendous force of desire is transmuted. The perspective is changed. We see ourselves as an immortal being, and we work consistently with our lifestyle, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Each decision that we make is an easier decision to make. And each reaction that we face it joyfully. Each meditation that we hold is more profound than the last, and the spiritual being, the soul body, begins to merge with the physical body as the elements of the instinct and the elements of the intellect that have been supreme life after life after life begin to give up and transmute their energies into the immortal body of the soul. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 21, On Earth to Realize the Self. Look through your entire life and make a memo of each major experience in this life. Then surmise how many major experiences you've had for the last 10 lives. All the accumulative experiences have brought you to the point where you are now, ready to turn inward and realize your infinite being. They have all been good experiences. The reactions to the experience has also been good. It brought you to the point where you are ready to sit down and say to yourself, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is the power of that which has never changed, which I am and can feel in every cell of my body? Where does the clear white light come from? What is the underlying power of pure consciousness out of which awareness emerges? All of this and more too, you will ask yourself and get answers from within yourself as you, your awareness, as the lotus flower begins to unfold. Always try to remember the reason why you are here. You're here to separate awareness from that which it is aware of and gain your own independence, your liberation from the instinctive area of the mind. When we're in it, we believe that everything we're going through is us. The intellectual area of the mind, when we're attached and in it strongly, we believe that that is us. When we're in the superconscious area of the mind, awareness is detached from that which it is aware of. We see ourselves as the traveler traveling through all areas of the mind, not getting stuck in any one area. Then we're here to go in. Take awareness off the surface of the earth into outer space, or out of the instinctive and intellectual areas of the mind into pure superconsciousness, into the clear white light, so it permeates every cell of the body. We're here to realize the self, have that one dramatic experience where everything that we thought was things is turned upside down and our whole perspective afterward changes. That is the purpose for living on this earth. That is the purpose for being here this very moment. That is the purpose for my speaking to you in this way, to impress upon you very thoroughly that you're here for self-realization walking on this planet. Get it. Direct all of your energies toward it. And then the tremendous power of desire will be for the one goal, not for the many goals towards which desires usually flow. When that happens, self-realization will come to you. It'll be very easy. One day, you will be self-realized. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 22. The river, a symbol of life. You have all heard about the sacred river Ganges, but have you ever wondered why this river is sacred? Why has this river become personified among all the rivers of the world? Let's meditate on this and let the river tell its own story to us. The river is the esoteric symbol of life's force. And as it flows, it tells us how those cosmic currents flow through the physical body, quieting the emotions and awakening the willpower, so that we can keep the mind under our control. This all happens, of course, providing we are in tune and flow with that life force, that illimitable power within us. The birth of this river high in the Himalayas we can liken to our own conception and entrance into physical consciousness. As the river flows to meet the sea, it drops off many disturbances. Just as our life absorbs many of its hindrances, The rapids smooth out. The waterfalls become smaller. The mouth of the river broadens. And as the river flows into the ocean, we can see this esoteric symbol of life ending its manifest physical form. Let us relate that symbol to our own consciousness, holding it within our mind, the river as a symbol of life. Now, look at yourself and see what stops that river from flowing, what stops you from flowing with cosmic forces and becoming one with life's ocean of eternal bliss. Is it not attachment that keeps us clinging to the banks of the river? Is it not fear that we are attached to? All the personalities we know and the various material objects we are clinging to keep us holding tightly to the banks of life's cosmic river. The river still flows on, but we do not flow with it. We are fighting against life's currents when we allow ourselves to become attached. Think today about the personal experiences in your lifetime and clearly view just how often you cling to the banks of life's river by attaching yourself to personalities and possessions. Have you ever stopped to think that we even become attached to things that we do not like? And to things that we have done against our better judgment? We are attached to objects, values, schedules, habits, memories, even likes and dislikes. We become attached because we do not stop to understand that each of those experiences that conceived the attachment was just a boulder, a waterfall, as an old tree trunk blocking one of the little rivulets as it tried to merge with the great stream, ever merging itself into the ocean. Om Namah Shivaya.